Hey, Jamie, I've got a question for you.
What do you want, Tom?
Who's on the podcast this coming Friday? Is it someone big?
Boy.
Is it a big one? Shall I bother listening this week?
Yeah. If I was going to say take.
And I would say off.
No.
Your trousers.
No, no. Take.
Me out.
No, take.
Paddy McGuinness.
No, take.
Take on me.
Take that.
Wow.
Have a little patience.
But hang on, presumably you haven't got all three of them, have you? Presumably you've just got one of them.
Buddy, we have all three of them on the podcast. They've released a new album. It's coming out. They're going on tour. They talk about the ups, the downs, the lefts, the rights, on everything that happened in Take That.
The ins, the outs.
And they reveal it all this Friday.
Exclusively.
On Private Parts.
That's a big one. I'm going to listen to that.
This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
So, Hussein Manuel, welcome to Whole Truth Podcast.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm not
my
ready.
G.
I am
Jeez.
Not ready.
You just slapped my
That's what I do.
No! It's like, I want to just high five you.
Alright, go on then.
No, I don't.
Don't you do that? But it's like, I got you.
Yeah, I'm into that.
Yeah.
Or we should do a monkey grab. Do you know that one?
Oh, yeah.
That's like, if one of us was hanging off a building, that's how it happened.
Do you know who taught me this one? Do you know Purcell?
Percy?
Yeah.
The actor?
Yeah, he taught me this. I'll show you one thing. No. So you hit each other three times and then go, Hooba!
Oh my God, that's so exciting.
Like Planet of the Apes, so. Hooba!
Best start to the podcast.
Purcell taught me that.
Shout out Purcell, doing very well.
Yeah.
That didn't mean to rhyme, but it did. I went to college with him.
Is it? Oh yeah, you all went to Brit school.
Yeah, we did. So yeah, welcome to Whole Truth Podcast.
Thanks for having me.
I'm very glad you're here. You're a friend of mine. And you are fresh from Music for Mental Health, where I think I can speak on behalf of a few people, if not everyone, when I say that you literally stole the show. Like, it was quite something. You picked up a mic to a crowd who arguably didn't know who you were.
Yep.
And you could hear a pin drop, man, to draw things in a little bit. Mm-hmm. How are you?
It's a good question. I think, like, right now, I'm not as numb as I once used to be.
So can you explain, just without, in as comfortable as possible?
Yeah, so my mum passed away last August. And that's, like, my mum. Do you know what I mean? And when she passed away, I went through the craziest turbulence of emotions and everything. And I was angry at the world. Really angry. I was in a lot of denial. Like, I remember one time I woke up in the middle of the night and I was going to call the police because I was convinced she just ran away and I wanted to file a missing person report. And there's been other times in the night where I woke up crying because I've had nightmares.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, and it's like, I couldn't believe I was waking up crying. Like, I've never, ever experienced that before. Yeah. And it was just like, I'm waking up crying. Wow. And now, after therapy, fitness, running, poetry, talking, doing, I feel better. But like, I've come to realize that it takes a lot of things to really help me get my mental health where it needs to be. Which is why I say I feel a lot less numb now, because I went through a period where, like, when my mum passed away, one of my friends was going through her stuff, and I ain't gonna lie, I didn't care.
Yeah.
I was just like, I don't care my mum, dad. Get over it, my mum, dad. That ain't that. And I was like, well, your problem's not as bad as my problem. And I was just like, well, I'm actually becoming a prick. And then one of my best mates turned around and checked me and was just like, look, you have to understand, you're going through your thing, but everyone's still going through theirs as well. And I'm like, yeah. And now over time, I've began to become more human and realize that again and not be so angry, because recently one of my friend's dads passed away. And when I heard about it, I was like, I rushed there straight away and I was able to aid him in the way he needed to be aided. Yeah, because I knew what they needed. And it wasn't like me jumping around him, cuddling him and being like, let me wipe your tears. It was like, all right, you got loads of guests coming around. Where do they need to be seated? What needs to happen here? All right, what's going on here? Do you have enough cutlery? Do you do blah, blah? Is there toilet paper? Yeah, practical things just to help the flow of everything keep moving.
Or like whenever you're ready.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And just be present without being overwhelming. Because I think when my mum passed away, a lot of my friends didn't really know how to deal with it. And the ones that did, God bless them. And the ones that didn't were just like, I'm here for you. I'm here for you. I'm here for you. Why are you not talking to me? Why are you not talking to me? I'm just like, yo, chill. Mm. If you tell me that, I'm not going to talk to you because I can't plan when I want to talk to somebody. It just happens.
Interesting how those things trigger other people.
Yeah, it is. Because it makes people feel as if like they're not contributing enough or doing
they're fulfilling an expectation.
Yeah. And I'm just like, the fact that you're just even here is enough.
Would you say that like the numbness was a kind of depressive thing?
100%.
Because I find that a lot of depression.
Yeah, you become really numb. Like you just lay in bed.
Apathetic. Like you just go, there's no point.
There's no point. I want to give up. Like, and even in I Am Whole, that was one of the first performances where I dropped a line that said, and I don't think I've taken my life anymore, Mum, because I'm scared of what you'd do to me.
Mm.
And I did feel suicidal. And I think everybody does at one point in their lives. You will come up with a battle and be faced with something that you will consume and overwhelm you. And you will think, well, it would be easier for me to just kill myself because I can't deal with this. And I remember when my mum died, I was driving home. So when my dad called me, I was driving back and I called my best mate who lives 4 or 5 doors down. And my dad said my mum had fallen down. So I called my mate. I said, go to my house and tell me what you can see as I was driving.
Mm.
And he got to my house and he goes, oh, I can see everything. Everything's fine. And I was like, no, you're lying to me. And then I heard my dad in the background say to him, you can't come inside today. And that's when I knew. So when I rocked up to my house, there was like 4 ambulances outside. I went inside and I'd seen my mum had passed away. Literally, the first thing I did, I went out.
She was ill from before, right?
No, she wasn't ill at all. So she had like a brain aneurysm and she just died instantly.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it was just like the most sudden death of all time in our family. She was not ill. There was nothing. It was just like,
I can't remember because when we spoke about it, I, for some reason in my head, I rationalized that there was like something.
It's what everyone does think. Everyone was just like, oh, she must have been really old. And I was like, she was 49. She was chilling. She just come back from work. It was in the evening one night. She was ordering a pizza.
Oh my God.
She hadn't been to the doctors in 15 years. When I walked into the house and I saw her and they were doing CPR on her. In my head, I knew she died.
You watched that happen?
Yeah, yeah. I was watching because I knew she died because basically my little sister's a nurse and she was at home. So in my head, I'm thinking the ambulance is only doing what my sister would have already done. And if anybody would have saved her, the beautiful story would have been she was saved by her daughter.
Yeah.
But she wasn't. And I went outside and I looked at my boy in his face. I said, bruv, take the week off work. Yeah. You're sleeping in my bedroom.
Yeah.
And he was just like, okay. And then I got 2 best friends, luckily enough. And I said, you both need to work on shifts with me right now. Because I'm telling you, I'm going to kill myself.
Yeah.
And then the thing is, I said it so comfortably, they didn't think I was joking. Because they were like, because I'm like, at this point in time, I'm not lying to you now. I'm going to be so real with you. This is the realest thing. And then the police were there and then they were like, we need to talk to somebody to make sure nobody murdered her. And then when the rest of my like extended family heard that, everyone was like, why we wouldn't? And I was just like, all right, cool. I went project manager mode. Dealt with the funeral and everything. Then I came back home and this was the downfall. Was I was chilling in the kitchen and I don't know if your mum has got some special cutlery, but cutlery you only use for special guests in your house. Like if you get visitors, you use these type of plates, yeah, of like course. The clean plates, like and everyone else just uses the standard ones. And I was chilling in the kitchen and I don't know who it was. Someone came into the kitchen and picked up her mug. And I looked at that person and I was just like, no, we're about to have a war, you know. Whose mug are you touching? And I didn't say nothing. And then these other people started like opening the drawers and opening the cupboards. And I'm just like, you're not allowed to open that drawer. Yeah, that's got a special thing. You can't. I was like, close that clock. Give me that plate. Blah, blah. And then my sister was like, what happened? And then I dropped on the floor in the garden. Everyone was there. Jamala was there. J Soul was there. All my friends were there. And I was screaming. I was just like, I could not. But it was like, because I'd just seen her get buried. They didn't cry at the funeral or nothing. The moment I came back home, I was like, I know you're not here because there's people in your house touching things they shouldn't be touching. Do you know what I mean? You've kept your house so special and everything. And that's when it hit me. And then from then on, every night was just long. Until, like, you have to just pick yourself up and analyze and really break down how you're going to get through this. Because you can.
One of these things that you can't, like, ever prepare yourself for.
Yeah, it's true. And what I was saying to you earlier was that I hate this time of year now. Is because every year, this time of year, we'd go shopping. We'd go lakeside.
Oh, that's where you enjoyed it.
Yeah, we'd go lakeside. And lakeside would close late during Christmas. So we'd go lakeside and my mum was always parking Debenhams.
Yeah.
So she could walk through Debenhams.
Yeah.
And she'd always go to New Look. And she'd always go Dorothy Perkins. And like, I'm sure there's other brands out there as well. But like, she'd always go to like these shops. And then on the way back, she'd go to her favorite spot, get her dinner, and she'd say things like, you're only allowed one fizzy drink a week. She'd park on a single yellow line and be like, horn the car if the ticket man comes, so I'll run back out the shop. Like, we was young, and like I was saying to my family yesterday, I want to go back to that shopping center. I want to walk through it. I want to do that route. I want to just experience her with
you
me.
You haven't done
that yet? No, I'm too shook. Even like going to the graveyard, right? You know, one thing that I don't really think is touched upon, like loneliness enough, because when my mum was in the graveyard and I'd go to visit her, I was going every day for the first like, to be honest, I think when your mum passes away, you're like, no, I'm going every day forever.
Of course.
It's not practical. You can't do it.
Of course. Like, you just do when it feels right.
I think I managed to do it for like 2-3 weeks. And then I kind of had her in my ear going, stop coming here. What are you coming here for? Like, it's not you. Get back to work. Do you know what I mean? Like, I had that vibe. And then, when I was in a graveyard, there'd be people getting buried with nobody to bury them. And the people in the graveyard would tell me, like, sometimes, like, we'd have bodies turn up and there's nobody to bury them because this person has no family, this person has no friends. So do you want to come and join the congregation of prayer for them? And I'm just thinking,
mad.
Wow.
It's dark.
People live lonely.
Life's tough, bro.
It's lonely. And, like, we are so connected, nobody should feel like that. But it just goes to show how disconnected we are. And I think as well, like, bad experiences with negative people lead people to never trust people again. Do you know what I mean?
You know, like, when I went through a lot, like a big breakdown last year, just before that Amira gig, like, one of the biggest impacts on me was grieving my gran. That took me to 2.5 years to even. 2 years to even like process.
Yeah.
So same thing. Went to funeral, said a nice thing.
Yeah.
You know, my dad was in pieces. My mum was in pieces. Yeah. Like my dad's girlfriend was in pieces. Everyone's like messed up. But I was like, yeah, cool. She's old. Do you know what I mean? But I was heartbroken.
Yeah.
The little boy in me was devastated.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's going to be it's a long journey, man.
It is, and it's going to take a lifetime.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
you love music, and you started to put to do your poetry. You do your poems over beats, like
yeah.
You're a musician for sure. You've got songs out there.
Man, I've got a couple bars.
You've got a couple bars. You're one of the best bars I know. You've got some punchlines for sure. That's serious, actually.
That's big coming from you. Safe.
But like, so what is? I mean, what is your relationship with music? How has what you've experienced in the last year shaped your relationship with music? Or
that's a really good question. I think I have so many musical inspirations, like so many, and I think for me, where music weaved into all of this was it became an atmospheric comfort bed that I could like get in bed with and like. Not like have sex with it, but like get like intimate with it. Do you know what I mean? And like when I started exploring the sounds of the violin and the grand piano and the of like the shakers, and I was like, all of these little things, they really, really like start to sprinkle gold dust onto what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And that's why like when people come to my shows and they see a full band, they get so shocked because it's just like, oh wow, we thought this was poetry, but it's like it's atmosphere, it's ambience, it's. It's melodic, it's everything that I want it to be whilst keeping it what it is.
Mm.
So I'm really happy with my relationship with music because I listen to a lot of composers and a lot of pianos and a lot is what I listen to.
Yeah.
And now I'm just happy with where I'm going with it, wherever it's going to take me. I'm happy with it.
With your personal music,
with my personal music.
Are there any? I'm glad you are, by the way. But were there any musicians or when you say about violin and grand piano, were there a specific artists or like albums or songs?
I think Hans Zimmer.
Wow.
Yeah, was a very very big triggering point for my emotions.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm just gonna pull some.
I mean, when you hear a Hans Zimmer song, when you hear a composed piece from Hans Zimmer, that rocks your soul. And if you don't have a soul and you think you've lost it, you go listen to a bit of Hans Zimmer, you'll find your soul again because it touches you in a way. It's like, wow. Bruv, do you know what's on my
playlist? Who's got the keys to my?
Do you know who else is on my playlist? Michelle McManus,
who winner of
Pop Idol.
It was Pop Idol.
It was Pop Idol she won.
What, she's still making music?
No, I'm still listening to that. this time. We've come a long way.
You just killed off her potential career. I really thought I was going to look stupid there.
Why? I love that tune.
No, bruv, the way you go, I go to you. No. I say to you, is she still making music? And no, I'm still popping that tune from 2009.
No shade.
Earlier. 2007, I reckon.
Look, I don't know because I don't keep up to date with many.
Do you like most of the big hits that come from the winner of talent?
Yeah, I love that stuff. I love
all of them.
I love it when
Shane Ward?
Was it Speechless?
Well, I don't
breathless,
know.
Breathless,
the
breathless.
Way you just, the speed of that answer is outrageous.
And what was the other one?
What about The Voice? Have you listened to The Voice winners?
I think I better leave right now.
Will Young?
Yeah, wasn't that one of the
Okay, the way, how can you be so sure about Shane Ward and Michelle McManus and Will Young, who had arguably one of the biggest careers from a tackle position? You're like, what's his name again?
No. It's because you know what? Yeah, I don't follow musicians anymore.
No.
I live in a cave.
I hear you, so, but like, spoke about Michelle McManus blood. And you're all right, going,
what about, wait, sure I know more. I know more. I listen to them songs, yeah, because they come at a time where there was no social media. So it was like, I was really genuinely connected to the emotion of this person's story. And it really hit me. And then moving on from like the talent competition.
Oh, you like stuff. You like the nostalgic kind of like throwback videos.
Yeah, and just like I love nostalgia.
You know when they do the videos where everything's black and white. Yeah, it's like you their can first see their story, audition,
and then they get the bus to their primary school, and I love that stuff, man. And then when whoever gets the golden buzzer, I'm crying. I'm just
what's
dead.
The golden buzzer?
Like, you know, when like Britain's Got Talent or something,
just
and
tears.
Someone comes on and does like a backflip of that, and all confetti comes out. I'm like, Adele, I love Adele. Artful Dodger.
You know, once when I was about when
Blue,
I was, when
Blue I, was sick, Blazing Squad.
You're just naming, you know, you're just
Imperial
naming early,
Squad.
You're just naming naughties. Wait, pull up. You have to make a differentiation from talent competitions Jaheim. Before you start naming random, like early
I'm just telling
pop
you what's
acts.
On my plate.
No, honestly, you're just saying pop acts. Blue weren't from a talent competition.
No, but I'm just saying what's on my playlist. Everything that was popping when I was growing up, I still love it.
Yes, I do. I still love it. S Club 7. Do you see my Insta story the other day?
No.
What does the S stand for? One of the great mysteries of life.
I don't know.
What does the S in S Club stand for?
What does it stand for? School club. Sexy club. Savages.
Sadomasochistic.
What? What's that? You're lying. Oh, don't tell me this. I didn't know. Oh, wait, you know what disrespected me about that video? As I grew older and began working in entertainment, when I realised S Club 7 shot, never had a dream come true with a green screen. I was so sad, fam. I actually thought they had the budget for real snow. They were on a proper set. Like, I felt like they might have gone to... They went to a winter wonderland somewhere. But that's bait, a green screen, isn't it?
They have the budget for real snow. I love the idea that in your mind, they've gone, right, we're going to pay $2 million to the sky gods. Hey, listen. I needed the snow epically for the duration of the shoot.
And then as the older I grew, when I turned up to like shoots and there's like a green screen, they're like, it's a colorama. I'm like, is this what S Club use?
What's your favourite colour?
Green.
Why?
Because of the green starburst. No, seriously. Do you not just get starburst for the green one?
I just love that that's your association with colour. I thought you were going to come up with something profound. Like, really? Yeah, we see more shades of green than any other colour because of, you know...
Poet?
I never had someone, what's your colour? Green. Why? Starburst. Shut up. What was Starburst's name before Starburst?
No, why do you know this stuff?
Why don't you know this
stuff? What was it?
Opal Fruits.
Wow. Yeah, I'm
slacking. Actually quite good in pub quizzes, you know.
I'm calling you.
So do you just like the lime green?
That's it. And then second is red.
Why?
Then third is purple.
Because it's strawberry.
Yeah.
Your colour.
You know what? Yeah, you know what? You know what you're going to realise about me? I'm a very basic person. I'm very basic.
How old were you when you first became conscious of your mental health? Before, because obviously what happened last year is going to define you, will define you.
Yeah.
But before, that's not like the first time you were conscious.
Probably 21, university times, when I was unhappy at university and had to figure out why I was unhappy there.
Your discomfort in uni, what kind of effect did that have on you?
A negative one, like it made me really unhappy. I felt like...
How did that influence your actions or decisions?
So what I did was, I found I was unhappy at university, so I had to find ways of making myself happier. So I decided to climb mountains. Not many people know this.
That's incredible.
I climb a lot of mountains in my spare time. And
do you mean like in the Lake District?
No, I climbed Kilimanjaro.
You've climbed Kilimanjaro.
Yeah, that's the first thing. That was the first mountain I climbed when I was unhappy. Because I was like, I need to set myself a target. I feel like I'm not achieving anything. University is draining my soul. It's taking my money. And all I'm getting for it is PowerPoint slides.
You're feeling a type of way. Yeah, you weren't enjoying it.
Yeah, so I just felt like I want to do something that's going to help the world because that's how I think I'll help myself.
Brilliant.
So I decided to climb Kilimanjaro because there was a flood in Pakistan that affected like 60 million people.
Whoa.
And where I live in Ilford, there's a massive Pakistani community. So I organized this fundraising climb to Kilimanjaro. And en route to it, loads of people in the end were like, we want to come. But they didn't actually want to come. So I was like, all right, for those of you who are saying you want to come, why don't we all go to Ben Nevis? And we went driving up the mountain and then we were driving past Lake Loch Ness and got to Fort William. Is it Fort William?
Yeah,
it's Fort William, and we got there and we'd started to climb. Anyway, what I found from climbing, or it's not climbing like that, it's like trekking uphill, was that we actually helped our mental health a lot, because climbing and trekking in adventurous settings sparks conversations that you would not necessarily have with people that you wouldn't necessarily speak to. So the group in the bus was full of like 16 people from the ends, but they were all different. And when we got to the mountain, you have no choice but to get along and talk to people. And it proved to be so successful. We did like 4 other mountain climbs after that, and each time it got bigger and bigger. It actually.
But do you know what I mean? Like, I love that, to think I feel low, so I'm emotionally and like figuratively and literally gonna
climb something.
Climb.
And I was actually listening to Joel McKeldry, The Climb, as I was doing it.
He just specified another X factor winner. So yeah. what would you say your best period of mental well-being is?
Probably where I'm at right now.
Good.
Yeah, probably where I'm at right now. I'm so like chilled. And that's so rare. That is actually so rare. But I'm so relaxed. I'm not overthinking. I'm not overanalyzing. I'm not like ruining parts of myself. I'm not doing that. I'm not like damaging my mind. I'm just being blunt, honest, real, less numb, and getting on with my life.
That's inspiring, bro. I've just got to say, listen, there's going to be people who are listening to this podcast who have experienced grief. It's the most difficult fucking thing ever.
100%. It's the hardest thing. So well done if you're getting through it. Amazing. Congratulations. And I'm mad proud of you.
Just again, you've already kind of covered this, but you're very comfortable talking about your mental health publicly.
Now I am.
Okay. When did that change for you?
I started doing this, yeah, because I was offended. I was offended by the artists, the writers, the people in front of the camera out there in the world that were not talking about the things that really affect them.
Trust me.
So I came to a point where I was like, all these men are telling me their lives are amazing and only my life isn't. Lying to me, you know. And I didn't want to be one of them brothers who's like YouTube conspiracy theorists in the back of like wedding halls going, yeah, no, it's all a lie. And I was just like, nah, because what I'm feeling, I'm not the only one feeling this. So I was offended. I am still offended as to how people use their talent of like writing to spread lies and like to do certain things. I'm just like, nah, you know what? Yeah, I need to talk about it. And I started talking about it like 5 years ago. And at first I was mad scared. I was so scared because I was like, people might think I'm crazy. They might just say, oh, look, like he's going through the most. He needs to sit down. But I remember the first time I gave a speech and I said, my name is Hussein and my problem is I care too much. And then went into like a suicide letter. It was received so well. And that for me was like a very big boost of confidence, knowing that what I was doing was the right thing. Because if you have a platform and you have the ability to connect and influence with people,
do it positively.
Yeah. Or don't do it at all. You should be banned. It's ridiculous. I can't stand it. And now I'm in this position of just like, you know what? Yeah, I'm so annoyed at what I see every day. I'm not going to stop talking about it. I'm just going to write about it.
Okay. You mentioned it at the start, like straight away, about how you dealt with grief and highlighted some really important messages to do with exercise and...
Yeah.
But I don't want to put words in your mouth. Can you... What are these things that you do to look after mental health?
I write. I speak to people. I run. Have an amazing app called Couch to 5K, where Michael Johnson is my trainer in my earphones, and he'll tell me to keep running.
Is he a 400 meter runner?
Yeah, I think so. Olympic.
Yeah.
He's an American.
Michael Johnson, yeah.
And, yeah, I run, I exercise, I write, I speak, I'll be honest, I eat right.
Apart from McDonald's.
Yeah, I focus on what I need to focus on. I've been able to identify my emotional triggers and can spot one of them if it tries to pop up on me with a big red flag above it.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you do that via therapy or just from your own work?
I think therapy helped me to an extent, but then the journey was one I had to go on my runs. And now, like, yeah, I just do a bunch of things consistently every day. And some people would look at it and see it as draining, but I don't. I look at it and see it as like as positive, and I have to do this. Otherwise, I'll allow myself to be consumed.
Yeah. Totally. And there's some days where your mind starts to tell you you don't have to do it. And the battle is to make sure you still do it. Probably then more than ever.
Yeah, 100%. And stay awake, because if I nap during the day, I won't sleep at night. And if I don't sleep at night, I overthink. And if I overthink, it's all downhill from there.
So we have a thing in collaboration with our main charity partner, YMCA. Mm-hmm. This year we launched something called Whole Hour, which is to encourage young people to do something for an hour of their day, just disconnect a little bit, just move away from the phone and that.
Yeah.
So if you had an hour, what would you do? I think there might be a compilation of X Factor winners' first singles.
No. You know what I've started to do is not go on my phone every hour for the first hour I wake up. I don't go on my phone.
Yeah, that's really important. Well, that's what we expect. That's what I do. Yeah, did you read that somewhere?
I don't know. I think so.
I feel like I read that somewhere.
Yeah. First hour of my day, I don't go on my mobile phone.
Yeah.
And before I go to bed for 1 hour, I don't go on it either. Because when I wake up, I allow myself to wake up naturally. And that's without the outside world influencing the way I'm going to think for that day.
Yeah.
And also, like, I'm trying to cook. I'm trying to learn how to cook. So food is really important to me. And gardening is also really important.
Mate, that's my... I dream of being a good gardener.
Yeah, I ruined my garden the other day. I ruined it. I got weed killer and sprayed it all on the grass because there was weeds coming through the grass and now all the grass is dead.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, it's sad.
Is grass a weed? As a mind fuck.
I don't know. It's too early for me. I don't know nothing. I already told you.
Yeah, I love grass. If you think about it.
Grass is lovely.
It's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
Good colour of green. Almost Starburst green.
That might be why it's my favourite colour.
It would make more sense for you to say that.
Because of grass.
Well, it wouldn't make more sense, but it'd be more wholesome.
Yeah.
Look, Hussein, I'm going to leave it on that note.
Cheers, man.
Because I'm trying to think of a joke real quick about space. Sensitive atmosphere has been...
Just give me some space, Jordan.
Now I will give you a space. That was a whole new podcast with Hussein Manuel.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Powered by Spirit Studios.